You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Carol A. Baruff. Carol Baruff has been a writer and editor of Holistic and Alternative Health Matters for more than 40 years. She is also a massage therapist and longtime researcher and author of topics from the Edgar Cayce readings, particularly those associated with health and practical application of natural remedies. Her latest book, Edgar Cayce's Everyday Health, Holistic Tips, Remedies, and Solutions, published by the ARE Press, combines her research with holistic health topics from the Edgar Cayce readings into a simple yet complete everyday health guide full of practical solutions, natural remedies, and holistic health perspectives. She currently lives and writes in Cedar Springs, Virginia. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, what does everyday health mean to you?
Well, I can think of at least a couple of levels. Something else will occur as well to the listeners, but on the first level, it really is the things that we do every day that impact our health. What we eat, what we put into our bodies, what we drink, how much water we drink, and other liquids. What's the balance of fruits and vegetables and grain products and meat and so forth. How much sleep do we get? How much rest? How much exercise? How much, play do we allow ourselves in addition to work? It's always a balance, balancing our different needs and different pulls. And then, I think the other things that really fit into that as well are not necessarily every day, but they're part of our regular rhythm, like how often do we get a massage, how often do we take a little trip, go to the beach, get outside more. A lot of Cayce readings talk about the sun and the sand and the benefits of that and of fresh air. How often do we get our spine checked, do a cleanse? That might be just a couple of times a year. All of those are part of everyday health maintenance to me.
Well, how did you come to put this book together?
Well, I have been a longtime employee of the Heritage Store. Should I explain that?
Oh, yes. When people come to visit Virginia Beach, they might be interested in visiting Heritage also.
Yes. Well, many people do. The Heritage Store has been a supplier of Cayce remedies since the late 1960s, and I started working there for the owner, Tom Johnson, in about 1970, and I've done a lot of research and writing for him over the years, and have worked on publications of all shapes and sizes in the process. Then back in 2000, in the 2000s, we had started a monthly newsletter that was being sent out to subscribers and could be collected in the store in addition to a calendar of events. We would always have something educational in there, and for a long time we were carrying a column by a man named Ed Rocks, who had used a lot of humor to present concepts in the Cayce readings, and we ran out of Ed Rock's columns one day, and I said, well, I'll just whip something up and put a little article in. And that was how I started doing that. And so this book actually grew out of about 6 years of monthly Heritage Store newsletter articles where I would just delve into a topic that I thought needed more research, that people would enjoy being made more accessible, perhaps, to them, more understandable. Maybe it would be more understandable to me in the process. And, you know, and as I worked that out, I would be able to present that to the readers. And it just evolved that way, and until I really did have a book there.
Well, what will readers find within these pages, and how can they be benefited by what's in the book?
Okay. There is a huge variety of topics in here. I really went all over the map. At first I thought there wasn't much left to explore, and now I think it's just endless. But there are close to 70 mini chapters here, and they're divided into four broad categories: dietary matters, health aids and strategies, common concerns and disorders, and holistic perspectives. So a person can really browse through this book and be sure to find something of interest here. It's yes, and they can benefit by learning something new in just about every chapter they look at, because I was coming up with things that were new for me. So I believe that they're going to be some new perspectives for every reader as well.
Wow, so it's a general book for people. Let's say somebody has psoriasis. Is there information in the book on that?
There is, I'm just checking to be sure, there is not a chapter specifically on psoriasis, but there are some general suggestions for the skin and skin care for the digestion that would bear on that indirectly. I do regard this as a research guide, this book, and an encouragement to people to go deeper on concerns of theirs. So no, there is not a chapter specifically on psoriasis, but I think someone with psoriasis would still find some helpful health hints.
I see. So do you point them to the readings?
I do. Yes, I do all the time. The book is actually full of Casey quotes, because I keep finding when I research that the Casey readings often state things so beautifully and so much better than I could myself. And also, sometimes to avoid confusion, it's good to let the readings speak for themselves. So the every chapter is interspersed with direct quotes from the Casey readings. At the same time, I'm not trying to prescribe, because there's such a variety of suggestions for each disorder. And this is not always about disorders. Sometimes it's about diet and skin care and packs and poultices and holistic health strategies and why olive oil is good for you and so on and so forth. It's really all over the place.
So somebody can use this as a guide if they're looking for specifics, and your book helps point them in the right direction.
Exactly. So for instance, with the olive oil, I might or might not mention the size of the dosage, how often to take it, how much to take, but a person can get many very specific reading numbers and very specific directions for further research, because health is it's an individual thing, especially when you're dealing with, as in this case, suggestions for individual people. So really the best thing to do if there's a particular concern or a particular remedy is to go directly, sooner or later, to go directly to the KC readings and see what really seems to fit. But this will point the directions, and it gives a lot of very helpful ideas.
We'll be right back with more with Carol Baruff on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Carol Baruff.
Well, you mentioned heritage. Could you tell us more about your background in the health field and with the Cayce material?
Yes. I have been interested in health all my life. I was raised with health concepts. My mother was very interested in people who spoke about health and wrote about diet and health, people like Carlton Fredericks and Adele Davis. And her parents were graduates of the Kellogg School in Battle Creek, Michigan. And they gave health treatments to people who came to their, I believe they called it health services, clinic or studio. And their treatments involved massages and poultices and light therapy and cabinet sweats and basically invigorating treatments that would increase people's circulation so they would just feel and be healthier. And so that's my background. I do not have a degree in health, but I write as a layperson who has studied this material for over 40 years. Not a medical doctor. I am a massage therapist. I do have hands-on experience in the health field as well.
How do you suggest that a person approach this book?
Well, one way to start would be to scan the topics and see if anything was of special interest. It lends itself very well to browsing, you know, opening it here and there, depending on what's of particular interest at the time. A person could also just start at the beginning and go right through. It's just going to be kind of a discovery tour through health topics that are mentioned in the Edgar Cayce readings, and it's accessible either way.
And I'm just curious, how long is the book? How many pages?
Let me see. You know what? I think it's around 300, but pretty close. I'd say just under 300 pages. Many of the chapters are very short. I call them chapters, but many of them are just a couple of pages. So it's a wide diversity of topics.
Do you have some favorites from among the chapters?
Oh, I have plenty of favorites for various reasons. Sometimes I just had a lot of fun with the presentation. Like I have a two-part presentation on fat. In other words, two chapters, part one, part two, which I titled Fat, the Good, the Bad, and the Really Ugly. And I used a spaghetti Western analogy to make this exploration of which ones were actually the good guys, which ones were the not so great, but okay in moderation probably, and which ones were the really bad ones in the fat scenario. And that's true for meat fats and for vegetable based fats as well, and that's how I have divided it up. Another favorite, just because I'm really into it, I've been doing massage for over 20 years, is a chapter called Feeling Good About Massage. And it doesn't just tell you how and why massage is good for you. It gives you some ways to get into massage at home, because most of us need, at the very least, a back rub or a neck rub or a shoulder rub or a foot rub more often than we can afford from a professional. And the Casey readings were very clear that not all massages need to be performed by professionals. There's definitely a place for that, but we can fill those times in between by working on each other. So I give some of the top Casey strokes and suggest some ways that people can work on each other at home. Sometimes I just enjoyed the topic. There's a chapter called The Case of the Elusive Singing Lapis. It's in the holistic section that is explored from the standpoint of a detective trying to figure out what Casey meant in his readings, where he directed at least one person to go to a museum and listen to a particular kind of stone sing. And I was always intrigued by that. But the material in the readings is a little confusing. What stone are we really talking about? And there are several kinds of stone whose names start with the word lapis. So I did a little kind of investigative reporter piece there. Another one that's very close to my heart, because I've been involved with breathwork for health and as a meditation aid, is titled Breathing as a Way of Life. And I just really enjoyed exploring and presenting that material. Another chapter that I'm really fond of, partly because I love the word rejuvenescence, is about rejuvenation. I found the word rejuvenescence in the dictionary when I was researching the Casey material on rejuvenation. Other words for that would be revitalizing, re-energizing. People like to call it youthing. But rejuvenescence is the state of having been rejuvenated. So it's a really great state. And I really enjoyed researching that and everything that the Casey readings had to say about making the body work so well that the clock was literally turned back on the aging process. People are very concerned these days about how they look, looking younger. But that isn't worth much if they don't feel good. And so, let's see, lots of other favorites, really. Castor oil, creativity, that's another two-parter, two-parter. Sorry, I researched everything that I could find on different ways to use castor oil. And a lot of people know about abdominal packs, and that really is the number one use of castor oil. I don't know if you're familiar with that yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I have done a lot myself. But also there are many other uses for castor oil. So my second section is titled Head to Toe. And I go through the body with different kinds of complaints that the reading suggested various uses of castor oil for relief.
Well, I was wondering, with castor oil, for a castor oil pack, does it need to be heated?
In most cases, yes. I have decided for myself, and I believe a lot of people would agree with me, that if there's a question of inflammation, that a castor oil pack can still be beneficial without the heat. A lot of readings say make the pack as hot as you can stand, but in a case of inflammation, or actually some people recommend castor oil in pregnancy, castor oil packs. But you wouldn't want a lot of heat in pregnancy, so that would be a precaution. Where the pack itself, without too much heat, could be very beneficial. People like Dana Myatt have talked about, and I believe Gladys McGarry too, have talked about castor oil packs for preventing miscarriage and sometimes for helping kind of set the stage for a healthy pregnancy beforehand. So the short answer is yes, the heat in most cases, but probably not all.
Well, you mentioned listening to Lapis for healing. Did you find other areas where Edgar Cayce talked about using sound for healing?
Oh, okay. He suggests, in the case of the lapis, he suggests listening to it sing. I would just say that that's a vibrational thing that not everybody would be able to hear. But let's see, as far as sounds and tones go, the closest I could get to that would be chanting.
We'll be right back with more with Carol Baruff on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Carol Baruff.
If you're familiar with the Cayce readings on meditation, many times chanting, like the Ari Om chant, for instance, is probably the one that is heard more than anything else, the most familiar to people. It's suggested in the Cayce readings as a way of raising a person's vibrations, and I think even listening to chanting could raise vibrations. That's why it's on a lot of sound albums for massage and Reiki and so forth now. But the act of chanting itself is creates a very deep response in the body, I believe, and opens probably some access to the higher centers, which are involved in meditation. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Yes, that does. And I was also wondering, you mentioned good and bad fats. Would something like almonds be a good fat?
Oh, definitely, a source of really excellent fat. Actually, all nuts would be. Cayce had his favorites. Almonds would be number one. Hazelnuts or filberts right behind those. All other nuts are mentioned and then you get into individual variations, you know. For some people, maybe cashews are not so good. For other people, maybe they are. But I think in cases of all nuts, that's a good fat. That's a fat of vegetable origin. If it's a raw almond, that almond has not been heated, it hasn't been fried, and there's no danger of getting into trans fats, which are my really ugly fat in the vegetable kingdom.
Wow. And it's interesting, the change that comes, I guess, when they process almonds and make them smoked or something. I knew of someone who, and nobody should, if they're allergic to almonds, they shouldn't go out and try this. They should not. Uh-huh. But he was apparently allergic to almonds. He was not severely allergic, but he would have a reaction if he ate raw almonds. But if he ate smoked almonds that were cooked, he would not have that reaction.
Oh.
So I think it's interesting. It's good for him maybe, but for other people, it shows that something is eliminated from that almond that might be good for other people when it goes through that process.
Yes, that's a very unusual one for allergies. I'm much more familiar with the peanut allergy, which of course is not really a nut, it's a legume, but falls into the nut category for a lot of people. I'm not sure about, I think a cooked almond, a toasted almond would be fine for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Probably not as good as the raw almonds from the perspective of the readings, but I think would be okay.
And of course, what about bacon and beef? That fat?
Strangely enough, and you may be familiar with this. This one surprises me, but a lot of times bacon was actually regarded as okay, and maybe even beneficial. I kept looking for why when I was researching meat. I have a chapter titled Meat to Eat with a question mark. You know, in other words, should people eat meat? You know, what do the readings say? How do they weigh in? And very often in the readings, you see advice against eating pork, but then almost in the same breath when talking about a breakfast menu, for instance, there will be a comment about, but a little crisp bacon would be well, but it has to be very crisp. And in that case, I think that means most of the fat is probably gone, you know, or you have a lot less of it and you're left with the meaty part and it's just really well done. So a lot of times pretty negative on the pork, a lot of times pretty negative on the beef, or it would just be a recommendation to be moderate about it. The number one, well, not number one there. There are a few categories, but the meats that were preferred, I'm going to add fish to this category, were fish, fowl, and lamb, and sometimes wild game as well, which would include venison or, you know, wild turkey, something like that. That would make the people in the country very happy probably to hear. The another thing about beef, though, and pork, and any kind of fat, there I have never seen anything positive about cooking with meat fat. In other words, cooking either meat or something else in a lot of meat fat. So you have the good old Southern practice of putting a ham hock in with your green beans or, you know, bacon with the vegetables. That was a no-no. Vegetables need to be cooked by themselves, not with the meat fat. You could put a little olive oil. You could put a little butter on. But even then, you cook the vegetables first, ideally. in the readings, if you're following ideal instructions in the readings. And I like a little stir-fry myself, but reading this, reading what the readings say time after time about the fat makes me use a really minimal amount when I do. And usually it's olive oil.
Hmm.
Olive oil is one of the good fats, by the way, one of the very, very, very good fats.
Oh, that's good.
Casey readings call it a food for the intestines. So it has nourishing value, it has calming value, soothing value, and it's mild as a laxative. It's easier on the system than a lot of other options. And at the same time, you know, it's literally a food for the intestinal system. So Mediterranean diet, people can be happy about that.
Speaking of beef, my wife, every week, pretty much, she makes beef juice for people who are sick.
Yes, I thought about mentioning that. That's wonderful.
Oh, yes, and it's interesting how it's made. It's kind of like a distillation process.
Well, you extract the juices from the meat. I think I actually give a recipe for that in here, in the meat section, because it's very clear in the readings. The way when I've done it, it creates liquid, but it kind of takes it out of the chunks of meat,
mm-hmm.
and so you are left with some liquid, and I think it tastes really good. It tastes like the best part of steak.
Wow!
To me,
it's like its essence.
It's like its essence, and you're supposed to just sip it too. So you take a very small amount at a time and just savor it on the tongue and even take time swallowing it. I've seen that suggestion. So, yes, that would be a perfect food for people who are sick, people who are convalescent, you know, and whose systems can't take a lot of food at one time, but what they do take in needs to be super nourishing. You know, every little morsel needs to count for something, needs to be, you know, it needs to help build the body back up. So that's a really excellent service that your wife is doing.
You've written an article that's going to be published in the next issue of Venture Inward, in which you talk about being able to spend the night on Edgar Casey's couch.
Oh.
Could you tell us about that?
Oh, gosh. I don't think this is something that the ARE is offering as an experience. I'll just have to say that. Although it might be a good experience, it's titled I Spent the Night on Edgar Casey's Couch. It's kind of a true confessions format. And it happened accidentally. I was an ARE youth at the time. I believe I was 19 or 20, and I had worked at the ARE a time or two in the past, and before that been a camper, and at those times the old dormitory wings in the third floor of the, this is the old building of ARE, mm-hmm. were open for people to stay there. And so I had stayed there as a camper and then as a young adult when ARE had a kind of an internship going on.
We'll be right back with more with Carol Baruff on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Carol Baruff.
So I had stayed there as a camper, and then as a young adult when ARE had a kind of an internship going on where you could help clean up after the meals that were being served, help serve the food, and then you could go to all the conferences you wanted to. And I started making visits to the beach. I was from the Philadelphia area at the time and always needed a place to stay. And I would look for a bed in the dorm. The ARE was very open toward youth. They had a lot of comings and goings then. And so sometimes you could find a place to sleep, and one time there was no bed, but there was a day bed out on the landing at the top of the stairs to the third floor, and there was nobody there to say no, so I ended up having a very good night's sleep on this day bed, and come to find out the next morning that this was Edgar Casey's couch, and people didn't think you should treat that as a casual experience, which I evidently had.
Wow.
So that's Edgar Casey's couch. It still exists. I'm not sure where it is in the ARE building at the present time. I know it's not in where it was then.
Oh, right now it's in the Gladys Davis room on second floor.
Okay. That's a good place for it to be. And it may even be roped off. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, yes. I think it is.
But at the time, I wished when I found out it was Edgar Casey's couch, I wished I could have remembered the dream. But May St. Clair was lecturing me when I woke up about why I shouldn't have spent the night there. So I did not remember a dream. So it's a bit anticlimactic. But the point of the article is that ARE was extremely welcoming to youth in those days, and there were some very good reasons for that and for being that way today, attracting youth to the organization. There is a very definite place for that.
Oh, yes.
It's very important to ARE.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a long-time involvement with the camp as well, and I have written some articles pertaining to the ARE camp.
Oh, and that's every year out, I guess, where you are. Is it in the western area of Virginia?
Yes, southwestern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's every summer, and we have two-week children's sessions for ages 10 to 16, and week-long family weeks for all ages. And then we end with a week-long adult retreat. And then early in the summer, there is also a young adult retreat. And there is, in midsummer at a house down the road, there is at least one program for teens. So we have a variety of activities going on through the summer. And there are also some times when volunteers can come in and help out.
We're about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Well, I just hope that anyone who is interested in health will take a look at my book and find some helpful pointers there, because I really believe there's something for just about everyone, and I think perhaps some burning questions will be answered and some helpful hints will be given, and I think most people would enjoy taking a look.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose. To find out more, go to KimmyRose.com. That's KimmyRose.com. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's today's Thought for the Day?
Today's Thought for the Day is reading 53:22:1. Keep it, your soul, then in patience, in love, in gentleness, in kindness, for these are indeed the fruits of the Spirit. And remember, a kindness sometimes consists in denying as well as granting those activities in associations with thy fellow man. And that's all about the enabling And like sometimes you feel, sometimes the most kind, loving thing you can do is step away and allow, because you're letting a person experience what they need to experience instead of fixing it. You're allowing them to learn for themselves. Like a child, when you teach a child to walk, you have to let go of their hands so that they can feel that freedom.
Oh, yes. You know this as a parent.
Yes.
Yeah, denying as well as granting those activities, you know, that's both can show love. And that's what somebody would say. I remember someone talking about how they don't believe in God. And they say, what if, here's a disproof of prayer. If two people on two different sports teams that are competing both pray to win, only one can win. So that means God's not answering the other's prayer. And no, the truth is God's saying no to the other one. So just because we pray for something, if God said yes to everything, would that truly show love? I mean, it's just like a parent. You have to look at him like a parent. If a parent said yes to everything, would that truly show love? Or would it show they just want their child to go away or and not develop? No, the act of saying no at times is often far more valuable than the act of saying yes.
It's so, and it's trusting that. It's trusting, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you. Bless you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Carol Barra for talking to us. To find out more about her latest book, Edgar Cayce's Everyday Health, Holistic Tips, Remedies, and Solutions, go to arecatalog.com and type in Carol Barra. That's CarolBarraff. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day. And most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.